Mr. Rich Eisen.
Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show, live on the Friday before the NFL draft, the Friday before the second playoff weekend of the NBA, the Friday before the first playoff weekend of the NHL season. It's a great day to be in this neighborhood right here on the Roku channel, this Rich Eisen Show, terrestrial radio affiliate, Sirius XM, Odyssey, and more. Thrilled that you are here. Give us a call, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Don't you dare worry. We'll fit you in amongst our four guests today, and also Chris Brockman with his usual Friday staple of what's more likely. And you're wearing a little lime green today. Chris, good job. Excellent choices, all of them.
Is it too bright?
No, it's looking good. It's looking good.
Thank you.
By the way, that question should be answered before we go on the air. I mean, but it's all good. Right. Just you keep rolling dice, brother. Keep rolling dice.
Seven.
Very good. Seven. And it looks like you're wearing, I'll describe this for our radio audience. Is that a schmedium you've got working?
Oh, boy.
You're wearing the schmedium today?
Yes.
Like a little Ed Hockley collection showing off the...
a large, thank you.
He's just swole like that.
I'm just super swole.
Okay. You're taking your fashion advice from Michael Irvin and Kyle Brandt. Is that what you're doing right now? We're in the
Cage's closet this morning.
TB12 protein over there.
Good to see you.
It's messed up.
How are you, Jason Feller? Good to see you.
Good to see you,
Los Angeles Kings hockey tied with the Edmonton Oilers, one game apiece.
Big game tonight.
Here we go. Is it at the, where is it?
It's home.
It's home.
Yep.
Are you going?
I am not.
Okay. How are you, TJ Jefferson? Good to see you.
Well, it's good to be seeing Rich. In addition, the other Friday you
what
forgot is... it's the Friday after tax day, so
very good.
I used to say, I don't think many of us are doing that great.
What a day! Friday. What a night for you! Let's start with this. If you're like TJ Jefferson and root for the Sixers and Clippers, what a night!
Right?
What a night last night was.
The case of emotion.
I don't know. You've been around town. If you're from Philadelphia, Colin, do you know somebody in Philadelphia who roots for the Sixers and the Clippers? Because I've been around Los Angeles. You're the only Sixer Clipper fan I know, period.
I mean,
you're one of one. You're one of one, sir. You're a unicorn.
That's how I like to go through my life, Rich.
You're a unicorn.
I don't want to be like everybody else.
You're a unicorn.
Man.
So your night began with Joel Embiid should have gotten ejected, didn't.
Well,
and then James Harden got ejected and shouldn't have.
That was awful.
So you got that working. As the Brooklyn Nets put the scare in the Sixers. Tyrese Maxey's a very talented basketball player.
Yes, he is.
And Embiid with a huge defensive stop. And if I told you going to that game, 5 of 13, 14 and 10 would be his stat line, you'd go, uh-oh.
We might be in trouble.
Correct. And 102-97 is the final score. And the Sixers are up 3-0. That's your ultimate headline. But boy, is there a lot in the copy. A lot in the copy. And I guess, you know, interestingly enough, Ty Lue being the other coach of your favorite double dip right there, he was the first guy to get famously stepped over in a playoff game, and he didn't do anything to Allen Iverson.
Well,
but we saw somebody step over a Sixer last night, and Embiid flipped his leg straight up. And let me tell you this, if Draymond Green had done that, he might have been arrested. But Embiid didn't get ejected.
Perception and...
Well, and
Embiid also missed.
How do you miss with such a huge leg, too?
Not sure.
Because he wasn't really trying to... He was just trying to get him over top of him.
He does not get ejected, and Harden gets ejected later on.
That was so whack,
unreal, man.
Is that the worst ejection in the history of the NBA playoffs?
Oh.
It might have to.
I'm serious.
You might be right.
Not remembering every ejection from every NBA playoffs,
but
I can
still
say... Of all the bad ejections, this was the latest one.
It's terrible.
It was the latest one.
It was terrible.
And Harden, after the game, had this to say, and I don't blame him a word out of his mouth, out of the beard. I don't blame a word that came out of a mouth that you probably couldn't see because it was surrounded by such facial hair. Here was Harden.
Unacceptable. Like, unacceptable flagrant, too. Like, the first time I've been ejected, I'm not labeled as a dirty player. You know what I mean? I didn't hit him in a private area, somebody's draped on you like that defensively. It's just a natural basketball reaction, and I didn't hit him enough, hard enough for him to fall down like that. But for a flagrant two, it's unacceptable. Like, this is a playoff game. You've seen around the league things that are much more worse than what that play was. Honestly, I don't even think it was a foul on me, but that's unacceptable. That can't happen, bro.
You don't believe anything he said?
I said every word out of his mouth is
the
truth.
You said you couldn't see his mouth.
You just couldn't see his mouth.
I was like, whoa, wait a second.
Every word he said is true. Every word he said is true.
Look, the league's got it. I mean, I think, does every league have officiating problems? Because everyone has 4K television sets and you can see everything and you could actually rewind things yourself, or you could see it in the palm of your hand, and we're seeing, you know, as soon as it's happening, it's right there on your...
Yeah, and the problem too is, Rich, it's happening so fast. It's happening. Just look at the Draymond Green and Sabonis situation. That was a quarter of a second incident. And that we have the slow-mo and the 4K, 8K, and you can parse it down and see every last frame of what happened. But that's not how it happened in real time, and I think that's a huge issue now.
Royce O'Neal flopped. I mean, there's no other way to put it, didn't he?
I think so.
And by the way, the private area that he said he didn't hit him in, it's not like it was behind piping and drapes, you know? That's not the private area he's referring to. Like, we didn't go somewhere that out of the public view.
You can see it on replay.
My
that
T video shop is
didn't
that what
hit him where he... The referees said that he hit them.
Come on, man.
So what are we doing?
That's the problem right there, Chris. The fact that they're going back, reviewing this stuff, looking at it.
And still getting it wrong.
Still getting it wrong. Like, I can understand you're right. It's going so fast, but...
Hey, at least for you, your Sixers won, and they're up 3-0, and this thing should be a wrap at some point in time.
Yeah.
So, but NBA's got themselves an officiating problem, I would think. Nobody's happy. It's unbelievable. Like, literally nobody's happy.
Yeah.
Even the team that's up 3-0 is saying, that sucked. How about this one? TJ Jefferson, I'm going to do you a favor.
All right, bet.
We're going to have a seance here on the Rich Eisen Show.
I don't know if I like the
We are going to make the house of the Los Angeles Clippers clean or clear or whatever that little woman on the in Poltergeist said.
Exercise.
Whatever the hell's happening, and maybe the Jets will get cleansed as well. Maybe we should just have a seance for all the cursed teams. What's more Clipper than making sure Kawhi Leonard and Paul George are ready for the playoffs by load managing them all season long? They're not playing either the front or back end of back-to-backs. They're just not going to do it. It doesn't matter. They will wind up tanking games, even one game in Denver. Remember that game in Denver, Clippers at Denver? And the Nuggets just came out and hit the Clippers in the mouth, and they didn't even play Kawhi in the second half.
Yeah.
They just sat him. Like, this game's over. They tapped out of an NBA regular season game at halftime. Rested their guys, saying, that's all we're going to do. We're going to make sure Kawhi Leonard and Paul George are ready for the playoffs, and Paul George gets hurt before the playoffs. And the only series, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, there's only one of the eight NBA first round playoff series where they play every other day.
Yeah, this is the only one.
Correct?
Every other one.
Every
gets
other
at
day.
Least some
every
game,
other
three.
Series has sometimes got two days two. Off in between games.
Yeah. This one.
This is the only one which, like, you're playing on this day, and 2 days later you will play on that day, and then 2 days later, and so on and so forth. Only series. It's the Clippers.
I don't understand that.
Versus the Suns. And sure, Suns are everyone's banged up, I guess, but Paul George is out. And then Kawhi and the Clippers without Paul George go into Phoenix in game one and absolutely play one of their best playoff games we have seen the Clippers play under the circumstances, against the competition, on the road, truly to steal home court advantage right off the bat without Paul George against the Suns playing their first playoff game with Kevin friggin' Durant with Booker and Paul and Ayton. And then damn near take a 2-0 lead by putting the scare in the Suns in game two. And then all right, before tip-off, a few hours, I thought I got punked. I honestly thought you and your friend Ashton had gotten together in his barn and say, let's just come up with this whole idea of Kawhi Leonard's not playing in game three due to a knee injury. Like, what? The what?
I would never sign off on that
part. What the what?
Dude.
And sure enough, he's out. And the Clippers, all season long, to make sure Kawhi coming back from the knee that he blew out in the playoffs 2 years ago would be ready for the playoffs this year. And they take game one, they snatch it from the souls of Phoenix to come home and take on Durant, who owns that arena as a visiting player his entire career. They'll show you, KD, in your new spot. Clipper hibernation, hashtag. And Kawhi's in street clothes in Los Angeles. And they got to take on the Suns and try and maintain that tenuous home court advantage without Kawhi and Paul George. You can't make it up. I mean, it truly is the height of clippering. And I say that as a Jet fan. They're the Jets of the NBA. The Jets are the Clippers of the NFL. Flat out. If something can go wrong, despite everything seeming to be put in place to go right, it will go wrong. That's the Clipper way. I cannot believe it.
Here's what's even harder to believe. We're doing the basketball podcast yesterday.
You're on live. I know. We've got that whole... By the way, for everybody, not to cut you off, just we got Jim Jackson coming up and we got Vince Carter coming up to talk about all this. We'll play that in about 5 minutes' time.
Oh, really?
You being on live Rich Eisen Show basketball podcast time.
After,
you, Brockman, and Adam Chudwin, our call screener.
Lavishing praise on Kawhi.
Great. And trust me, you reacted in the same way I reacted when I was on live Rich Eisen Show TV and radio, learning I lost my blue check mark on Twitter.
Sucking.
That's it. Or as the owner of the Clippers himself would say, it's perfect. He would say it.
Toilets.
That's it. Toilets. Toilets. You got Kawhi. You got Paul George. We're going to load manage them all. I shouldn't say load management and toilets in the same sentence.
Hey.
I just did.
Hey.
But toilets. That's
toilets.
It. Yeah, that's what's going to happen. And of course, they tried their best.
Only Norm Powell can
fill it.
Man.
Norm Powell can fill it. Norman Powell's really good, man. Bones Highland,
that's
which was
guy,
a terrific.
Bro.
Well, he was a very nice deadline deal. Pick up. Nice. Russ. He
Russ
did his
did
best.
It.
He yeah. did his best. But, you know, it's without those two, you got to figure a 5-point loss at home is the high watermark without those two.
Absolutely.
And let's hope that they can get Kawhi back for game four.
In 2 days.
But the problem is you got to find the reserve here. And I know these are professional basketball players, but the coach himself, Ty Lue, flat out admitted what a gut punch this was after the game.
I mean, it's very deflating, you know, and, you know, I think more so for Kawhi because, you know, you have a guy who's coming off ACL and hasn't missed a rehab session, eats right, eats clean, does everything he can for his body, works extremely hard to get to this point, and then you know, you have something like this happen, you know, so it's tough for him, you know, for all the work that he puts in, you know, and so I feel bad for him, you know, and, you know, our team, like I said, you know, our guys have, you know, been through a lot this year, the last 2 years, and just for us to, you know, compete to get to the point where we made the playoffs and we're feeling, you know, pretty good outside of having PG out, you know, it's like you said, and this happens, it's, you know, it's a blow.
It sure is, especially when it's not just any team you're taking on. You're taking on a team of all-stars all over the place. Durant being a headliner, of course. And then Devin Booker. Devin Booker scoring 45, Jeez. Which is not only crucial for his team, but for him personally, because by scoring 40 points, he gains the respect of Dylan Brooks, which is what you need.
What's wrong with you?
Now he can go at Dylan Brooks.
Well, he didn't put 40 on Dylan.
Oh, is that what it is? Yeah, it's got to be on him to gain his respect?
I think so.
And if it wasn't before, that's what he would switch it
can
to.
Can you do me a favor and send me the rules of gaining Dylan Brooks' respect?
You got it.
Thank you. How the hell did that happen? What the hell's going on? Well, they said, I mean...
the hell going on?
You know, team executive Lawrence Frank said that it didn't get better after game two, and they just had to, sit him. Oh, my God. Yeah. Got to come back for game four. But the problem is then what happens between 4 and 5? Will he be out in 5? Like, I hate to tell you, I'm sorry. It's over. I know it. It's over. What, are you going to load manage him throughout the playoffs? Paul George comes back. The whole idea that the Clippers can have George and Kawhi together, and they're going to have, I mean, they don't have George. What, he's just going to come back and play 40 minutes a night? You're going to have to load manage him, and then you're going to get through the Nuggets after that with that? Really? You're going to get past KD and Booker and Paul and Ayton, load managing these two guys, one in the lineup, one out, one's totally out of lineup. You'll get through that, and then you'll start load managing your way past the Nuggets, only to try and load manage your way past the Kings, Warriors, Lakers, or Forget it. I'm sorry. I'm just trying to spit truth here.
I'm a Clippers fan, Rich.
I'm a Jet fan. I get it.
I'm used to this type of...
And you think I'm enjoying seeing all these headlines? Aaron Rodgers might go to the 49ers anyway? Seriously, sitting here waiting. This thing is done. The Packers have to get it done. Jets have to get it done, and it's not done yet. But this is not a me thing. It's a you thing at this point in time.
Sorry, folks.
I'm here for you.
Yeah, I mean, I wish I could say I was shocked, but
we'll talk about it with Jim Jackson in a matter of moments. And then Vince Carter's on the program. Zay Flowers, who is, you talk to anybody of their team, is anywhere between 10 and 20 in the NFL draft. They're like, that's the guy I want. After Jackson Smith and Jigba, yesterday's guest, Zay Flowers also worked out recently with Patrick Mahomes. And everyone's like, well, stick him on the Chiefs and you can see what's going on. But I don't think he will be available when the Chiefs pick 31st overall. They don't pick 32nd overall, which is normally where a Super Bowl champion picks. But there's only 31 first-round picks because the Miami Dolphins, what's the word for it, Chris?
Forfeited.
They forfeited their draft choice. And Patriots fans know all about the forfeiting of draft choices.
Yeah,
or that it's called as such.
It's real voluntary.
Uh-huh. And in studio, hour number three from the new Hulu.
Hulu
show, Saint X. Betsy Brandt is here, and she's one of my favorites for many reasons. Obviously, Breaking Bad.
Mm-hmm.
And she one of the remarkable cast members of Breaking Bad back in the old day. And also, her son and my oldest son go to school together.
Hey.
Oh, okay.
And both of them on a basketball court, we've seen, contributed as much, usually, in their games as Kawhi and Paul George did last night.
Wow.
Wow.
What?
Wow.
I'm just truth spitting.
Truth spitting Friday.
Look, I don't need that, man. I'm hurt over here. I told you it was Friday after tax day.
Zan does not need to be well managed.
Come on.
Okay.
Right? DJ's hurting, dog.
Don't ask me how I'm doing. I'm hurt, dog.
Shout out Ed Reed.
So.
I was a big Life and Pieces fan, too.
Oh, Betsy that's Brand true. Awesome yes. That. Yeah. That's true. Well, Colin Hanks, one of our favorites.
Yes, indeed.
Uh-oh, my phone just buzzed. I think Susie's upset with what I just said. Let's see. Hold on a minute. The answer is no. Oh,
that wasn't her?
It was not her.
Okay.
All right, we need to get the break. Before you say anything else.
All right. Jim Jackson, hey. Everybody. Jim Jackson. Maybe we have to talk about the last couple of Novembers with him, too. Oh, everybody's getting some today. Noble is a training brand for people who work hard and don't believe in excuses. Noble's performance footwear, apparel, and accessories are worn by some of the fittest athletes on earth and is now the official combine training partner of the NFL and the official on-field supplier of apparel and headwear for the NFL Scouting Combine. Head to www.nobleproject.com/NFL to see how Noble forever changed the NFL Combine and to shop football training essentials and more gear for your day-to-day workouts. Stay tuned to the Rich Eisen Show and keep your eyes on our Twitter feed and YouTube channel as I'm hosting a new segment sponsored by Noble called From the Combine to the Draft. I'll profile a few players' journeys from the physical and mental tests of the NFL Combine as we head towards the thrilling moment when the picks are announced in Kansas City during the draft. That's twitter.com/RichEisenShow and youtube.com/RichEisenShow. From the Combine to the Draft, sponsored by Noble. Men, do you get distracted during the day thinking about your underarms sweating, itching, or emitting an odor? Do those thoughts keep you from showing care when it counts? New and improved Dove Men Plus Care Antiperspirant with 72-hour sweat and odor protection and 1-quarter moisturizing cream helps you forget about your underarms so you can be present for the moments that matter. Don't let underarm insecurities keep you at arm's distance from the ones you care about. Buy new and improved Dove Men Plus Care Antiperspirant wherever personal care products are sold. Jim Jackson will be calling in a matter of moments. I think he's doing the next Celtics-Hawks game. God, Lord.
Good night.
That's been a real competitive series.
No, actually, that's Sunday. That's his next one. I think he's going to watch the wrap. Tonight's games, Boston at Atlanta. Yep. Okay. Denver at Minnesota. Okay.
Yep.
Cleveland at New York. That's going seven, isn't it?
It feels like it. It feels like it.
That arena is going to be lit.
MSG is going to be maybe the coolest place on earth.
And ABC, yeah, right. ABC's airing it. It's on the big,
really?
The big net.
Tonight? Yep. Wow. Mm-hmm.
Didn't Van Gundy say he's doing the next two games there? When we had him on cool. earlier this week, right?
That's really cool.
Yeah. Yes, sir. And Nuggets, Timberwolves, and Celtics, Hawks are on the worldwide leader in sports. And I love him calling these games. He's just terrific at it. Him and Ian Eagle are a great, mm-hmm. great watch and listen. From Turner Sports, back here on the Rich Eisen Show, none other than Jim Jackson. How are you, sir?
Enjoying life, man. Enjoying these crazy playoffs. Crazy, crazy.
I know.
How are you, Rich?
I'm doing fine. I'm doing fine. Look, Jim, I'm fine unless somebody steps over me. And if somebody steps over me, it's on, you know? And just so you understand.
Somebody steps over you, what do you do?
Well, I just understand this, Jim. In this conversation, my foot's got to land somewhere. So
okay.
I'm just saying that. And you were awesome in that. You were awesome in that moment, Jim. You know, what were you thinking watching that go down?
Well, I saw kind of the change that the camera panned right away where we were sitting.
Mm-hmm.
I saw where Sabonis grabbed, you know, Draymond's leg. And then I saw Draymond step, but I didn't see how much more initiated until replay. But I knew it was something that was going on. But in the moment, you can it was something more than just Draymond tripping over Sabonis, that was an added incentive to make the stop because Sabonis grabbed the leg. But I mean, it was a crazy situation, and Golden State was able to, you know, kind of figure out a way through it without having Draymond, especially going back home in the game.
Hey Jim, if you don't mind, I'm going to have you put back on hold. Your phone's going in and out, Chris. If you wouldn't mind quality controlling this with Jim Jackson, I think he is calling in from South Florida. Right now, and I don't you, normally cell reception is doing very well, you know, on that. Did Embiid say his foot's got to land somewhere?
I didn't hear any quotes from him, so I'm not sure what went through his mind when that
Doc Rivers has got to be like, what in the hell was that? But Tyrese Maxey saves the day, doesn't he?
He really did, and you know, he's been positioned to be that number two.
Right.
Guy, and he's been showing up. And like you said earlier, when Embiid has a stat line like that, you automatically assume that's a Sixers loss. But the thing about Joe and why I think he is the MVP is no matter if he's scoring on the offensive side, his defense is usually always on par,
right.
Always on point. That game-winning block shot last night just kind of went and showed you that,
yeah.
You know, he's a force on both ends of the court, no matter, you know, if he's scoring or not.
Well, I mean, this looks like Sixers and Celtics will just be kicking back and rooting for the Heat to take, you know,
the Bucks out.
To take the Bucks out.
Yeah.
And then
those two just fight it out.
And those two just fight it out.
Yeah.
And then they'll both be sitting around having the same amount of time. Like it now behooves both of them to complete their sweep.
Yeah. And another thing, Rich, right? You know, as a Sixers fan, you know, a few years ago, I kind of went through and did a list of just bad draft day moves that the Sixers have done since the Moses Malone days. And
yes.
Then you watch Bridges, a guy who the Sixers drafted, then traded on draft day for a guy who's not even in the NBA. And you realize that guy should be on this Sixers team right now.
Right.
And it's just, as a Sixers fan, some of the moves that they made have been so frustrating, and especially watching Mikal Bridges play, a guy who doesn't load managed, by the way, who's never missed a game, and you had him and you let him go for nothing, and now you got to like watch him put up 25-30.
Hey, though, you came up with the win, and that's all that matters. I believe Jim Jackson's back on. You there, Jim?
I'm here.
Please. It literally is, it's truly like you just took your foot and put it right on my stomach. It's great. So
I think there's your theme that you should run on throughout the playoffs right now.
Oh, gosh, is there. But let's get to that moment first, since you were there, and then we'll get to last night in a moment. So when you saw what happened with Draymond, you thought what in first blush moment in that one, Jim?
That is going to be a flagrant one, flagrant two, just because of the stomp.
Right.
Now, everything that happened after that, of course, is up to debate, but I knew at the time, and because of Draymond, what had transpired in the past that when they called it and went back and looked at it, I knew it was going to be a flagrant one and flagrant two immediately just because of the emphasis when he stomped down. And I know a lot of people are like, you know, where else is he supposed to put his foot? I get all that. But it's Draymond Green. So as much as he gets benefit of the doubt in regards to maybe being a little bit more demonstrative in his arguments with the officials and stuff like that, and that's a long line in regards to how they allow him to speak to them. But then there's the other side of it too, which is the history part of what has happened with Draymond. That comes back to haunt him as well. So you can't have one without the other. And this time, the other was the suspension part that Adam Silver handed down based on, you know, history of what happened in the arena and things like that.
And the Warriors took care of business last night. Game four can even this series. And I imagine when Draymond steps on the floor in game four in San Francisco, there will be a thunderous ovation, and that'll be another emotional tide that the Kings will have to survive. How do you see this series playing out from here on out, Jim Jackson?
Well, I always thought that Golden State had the advantage from the championship experience. Now, they're not as deep as they were. Their margin of error, Rich, is not the same as it was in the past. And what I mean by that is that in the past, because they were so great defensively, and I thought their bench gave them a little bit more from a scoring punch, that they could overcome those turnovers. They've always been a high turnover team, okay? Mm-hmm. But their margin of error was a lot bigger because of those intangibles I just talked about. Now you can't, it's tougher. They got a slim margin of error. So them turning the basketball over, in particular in Sacramento, defeats what they're trying to do offensively because they're not being able to get the kind of stops they need, in particular on the road, to win those games. So they can't turn the basketball over. So I thought going in that I still favored a higher-seeded Golden State because of the maturity and championship experience. And that's not a knock on Sacramento. It's just that I haven't seen them perform at this level against this team at this kind of on this kind of stage. Would I be surprised if Sacramento won? Heck no, I'm happy for Mike Brown. I love what they've done with that lineup and the roster. They streamlined it. They have guys that are low-maintenance guys. De'Aaron Fox is a low-maintenance superstar. Everybody buys in. But going into the series, I thought that Golden State could win that in six or seven.
Well, we are going to have to see them win on the road in a way that we are accustomed to seeing them on the road in the playoffs, winning games. 27 straight series with at least a road playoff win, a remarkable streak that may just come to an end, to be very honest with you, because they haven't really been able to play lockdown defense on the road since last year's finals, essentially. And, you know, Draymond being back would be no doubt a feather for them. But they're going to have to defend in Sacramento in a game five and presumably one would think a game seven. I'd be concerned for him.
Here's the thing. Think about this. The first two games, they were right there.
They were?
They were a 10-point lead in game one, okay? What Steve Kerr really wants them to do, more so than not in particular on the road, is this. Attack the basket a lot more. Remember, Golden State was, you know, we fell in love and got enamored with them shooting three-point shots. But remember all the layups they used to get? Backdoor cuts and all the easy baskets because you had to guard the perimeter? Well, Steve Kerr really wants his team to, one, especially on the road, shot selection is the key because those long, quick shots lead to fast breaks for Sacramento, okay? Your defense is not set, so your defense is going to be compromised. So better shot selection. Be a little bit more patient. Second, attack the paint. By attacking the paint, you slow down the pace a little bit more. You score the basketball. Now Sacramento can't get out and run. Those little things right there help your defense, okay? So if you are deficient in one area defensively, your offense can be your best friend in regards to protecting and hiding that a little bit and insulating you from those opportunities where Golden State can take, I mean, where Sacramento can take care of it. That's the key for me because they're not all of a sudden become better defensively. They can, but their offense really has to, I think, tighten up a little bit on the road in Sacramento in order to get a W.
Jim Jackson, NBA on TNT, game analyst, 14-year NBA veteran right here on the Rich Eisen Show. All right, let's get to some of the other headlines that we've seen in these playoffs. Let's start with the last night of it all. Harden shouldn't have gotten ejected for that.
No.
right?
No.
What happened?
No,
what's happening then? What's happening then? What is going on?
I don't know. I was sitting there watching a game. Had a nice cigar with me too, by the way.
Nice.
While watching the game, and I saw the flagrant one. He pushed. Now, did James Harden intend to hit him in the groin? No. James Harden uses that move a lot of time to push off and to create the space to move. It just so happened he got hit lower. Okay, you penalize him for hitting him lower. Fine. Move on. Flagrant one. That right there in the flagrant two, I was blown away on that call.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, the argument that a lot of players and coaches have in regards to the inconsistencies in the calling. Because depending on the official's crew, it may go one way or another. Like, you don't know what a flagrant one is or a flagrant two, you know, from game to game, because the officiating crew may view things a little bit differently. And that's where the confusion comes in, especially like last night. What'd you think?
I thought first of all, why are we ejecting players like in the NBA playoffs like that? I don't know. Draymond's stomp, I can see. I don't understand the one game suspension after it as well. But
wait. Let me say this: Adam Silver in the stands, and he's yelling all kind of obscenities to the fans.
Yes,
while he's there. Okay. So, and to remember, on his podcast last year, and I love Draymond. I covered him since he was a freshman at Michigan State. Mm-hmm. This is my guy. But there's consequences to your action. Remember last year he said on his podcast about the officials, they don't come to see you, they come to see us. I can do what I want. I won't get kicked out the game. So all of these things go into that decision-making. So I just wanted to digress.
All right. No, and I appreciate you doing that.
Okay.
So that's what I thought. And I just thought to myself, this is getting a little out of control. Certainly when you start to review it and then you come back and I thought, okay, they'll keep him in the game. And then then they don't. It is really weird. There's just no other way to put it. And I'm just thankful for the Sixers that they got through anyway. They're 3-0, and it looks like they and the Celtics will sweep, and we'll get the playoff series that we're all anxious to see, with both teams having full complement of rest. You know, like that's the way it looks to me. So
at that one, you know, and I think Boston was 3-1 against the Sixers during the course of the year, and we had the game there. Ian and I think it was Boston at Philly, a few weeks ago. And that's the tough thing about the Sixers from this perspective is the matchups on with Boston, because Boston is just so deep. I thought one of the things that got taken away from Joel Embiid was a J.J. Redick type player. And what I mean by that, Rich, is that a guy, when he comes off of a down screen by Joel, you have to stick with him and honor that, because he's a shooter. If he's initiating the pass on to Embiid on the post or mid post, you got to stay at home. You can't help. They really don't have that type of player, that knockdown shooter or a guy that can come off of screens. And I think that took away from the two-man game, down screen, switching opportunities that type of player can bring to the table for Philly that makes them more effective offensively.
Jim Jackson, NBA on TNT, game analyst here on the Rich Eisen Show, getting set. If I'm not mistaken, you're doing Hawks-Celtics on Sunday, right? That's your next game?
Yeah,
next game?
We're doing that on Sunday.
Okay.
So first round, we bounce around a different series just because of the way the TV contracts are set up.
I hear you.
ESPN, ABC, and all that.
What'd you make of the Kawhi news last night, 4 hours of four tip, that he's out? I mean, unbelievable. Talk about a game changer, a series changer. Jim.
Yes. Well, you know, I cover him during the course of the year, so having more of an intimate insight into what goes on. I mean, I was thoroughly surprised, but I knew that he had been playing with that injury since game one. It's just so happened that it swole up after, you know, the second game. And unfortunately, it is what it is. And Ty is my guy, Ty Lue. We played together with the Rockets, and, of course, I cover him, and he's a good friend. And it's only so much you can do to manipulate your lineups and your rosters to be competitive. They were very competitive, you know, last night. For him to be able to get his guys to be over 500 on the road, to be where they're at to compete, it's just been a phenomenal job. But at some point, you know this, Rich, you can only ask so much of the roster that you have, and you can only pull out so much, in particular against a tough, talented Phoenix Suns team. And at some point it comes to an head. And then when you lose a Paul George and now Kawhi Leonard, it's just a tough task moving forward against a tough Phoenix team.
So, yeah, Phoenix is going to advance, right? If Kawhi needs to be load managed or is out every now and then, I mean, I don't know how they pull this off, quite frankly, despite the performance we saw from them last night. Okay. And one last one for you, because it sounds like your hotel phone is running out of battery. I'm not going to lie. I hear the beeps, Jim.
Can you hear it?
I can hear it. It's all good. Okay. So what'd you make of Dylan Brooks calling LeBron old? What'd you think of that?
I mean, what I said about Memphis is this: talented young group, exciting for the league. But they're still seeking their basketball maturity, not from a human perspective, basketball perspective, because they're young, they're brash, they're bold, but they really haven't won anything yet. And this is the way you talk about it. And Dylan Brooks is kind of taking on the role of being the villain. But he got to understand something. Poking the bear, LeBron is not that kind of guy. He's not like Mike or Kobe. I mean, those two guys, you say that to them, oh, it's over. LeBron is going to beat you in a different way. He's not going to come out there and try to play outside of his game and try to go get 40 on Dylan Brooks. Now, would he be a little bit more aggressive? Yeah. But LeBron is a different kind of cerebral player that tries to beat you in different ways. Unlike Kobe and Mike, they're going to go after your throat. They're going to tell you that from the beginning of the game, from jump ball, they're going to say much in the media, but then they're going to give you that look, you know, when the jump ball tips off. And you better be ready for it. LeBron is a different animal. He's built differently.
Well, and I know we're kind of opening the door here, or at least I am, by going down this road. That is the argument many people have to say that LeBron isn't as good as Kobe or Jordan, because that he doesn't have that gene in him, or he doesn't care to have that gene in him. And of course, that completely sidecars his greatness.
Magic was different.
Right.
Magic didn't have that killer like that. Magic beat you all the way around, smiled at you, pat you on the butt, then drop, you know, 18 to give you 15 assists and 10 rebounds, okay? And then he commanded and controlled the game. What's the difference there? LeBron can only beat who he can beat. Listen, Rich, when he was in high school, and I got a chance to follow him because he's from Ohio, he was the same player. Very easily he could have averaged 40, 45 points a game as a high school senior. Okay, and dominate. But he understood at the time that in order for us to be successful, this is my personality and this is how I need to play. I give it up to my teammates. They need to be involved. So he's been that way his whole life.
Yeah.
So I don't understand why people expect him to change or want him to change or want him to be somebody different when he's not. He's LeBron James. That's his personality. That's who he is. And I judge him and I view him from that prism and not from Mike's, because Mike is different. Not from Kobe's. Kobe's is different. Allen Iverson is different. That's uniqueness, and I think the greatness in each of these players is that they all are unique, but they all are top tier, top, you know, 15, 20, top five players that ever played the game with different personalities.
So then let me go in the 90 seconds I have left in this direction with you. Okay. How about, because LeBron would be happy to pass it up to Rui Hachimura, for instance, to win the game and then stare at Dylan Brooks and go, see you later, son. You know, like he'd be happy to do that. Then how about Draymond getting part of that in his game, where instead of stomping on somebody, he'll go down in the moment, realizing in the moment that he can stick Sabonis with a flagrant. He'll go down, and then instead of stomping on Sabonis, he just will wink at him saying, gotcha. How about him being part? How about him having that part of his game, Jim? What about that?
Great question, and that's something that Draymond would have to answer, because after he got, you know, in 2016 when he got suspended, he said he learned, he wants to mature, he wants to grow from that, but yet we're at this point again where he put his team at jeopardy of losing a game or a series because of his action. So at some point, that maturity level has to meet the words that you're saying. It can't digress. And we've seen it kind of close to the edge with Draymond on a couple of times, but now it hit the point where it did hurt the team, but not enough where they lost the game. So I don't know if Draymond can actually do that in regards. He's a highly intelligent player. We know that. Come on, man. Individual.
He is. I know.
He's highly intelligent.
He's got that in him.
Probably one of the smartest players to play the game. But can he control the emotion
exactly
at the time is the question. okay?
Mm-hmm.
When the infraction happens to him, can he control that enough to flip that script, to force the other player to make the mistake, and then it benefits the team while he still can smile and walk away and say, like you said, gotcha.
Gotcha. Absolutely. I would love to see that. It would really be great to see. Jim, thanks for the time. I greatly appreciate your time, and let's do this again in short order as the playoffs progress.
I'm here for you, brother.
I appreciate that. Really, I really enjoy listening to you with Ian and whenever you do any game. Thanks for the call.
All right.
Appreciate it.
I appreciate you, my man. Have a good one. Enjoy the game.
Yes, enjoy the cigars. That's Jim Jackson right here on the Rich Eisen Show. See what I'm saying? Draymond, if just in the moment that intelligence just
leaves,
it would be great if he just realizes in the moment, oh, I got him. He's got me around the ankle. See ya.
Yeah, that was your
instead
argument.
Instead of saying, my foot's got to land somewhere, how about he breaks it off inside him with a nice heady play? Let's take a break right here on the Rich Eisen Show. We've got Vince Carter coming up. Zay Flowers and the actress Betsy Brandt right here on the show.
Well, listeners, in case you didn't get enough sports today, here's an ad break that'll tell you how to watch even more sports. YouTube is the new home of NFL Sunday Ticket. And if you sign up now, you'll get our lowest full season price of the year. Just go to youtube.com/Spotify offer to get $100 off NFL Sunday Ticket. Watch your favorite teams out-of-market Sunday afternoon games exclusively on YouTube and YouTube TV. All right, enough about sports. Go get more sports. Terms and embargoes apply. Offer ends June 6th. No refunds.
April is National Financial Literacy Month. What is financial literacy? It's applying different skills effectively, including managing your finances, budgeting, and saving. It just so happens the Cumulus Podcast Network has 3 great podcasts to help raise your financial IQ. Stacking Benjamins with Joe Saul-Sehy, Bankrate's 2023 Best Personal Finance Podcast.
What's one of life's biggest expenses that we can maybe talk about reducing?
Housing.
Is housing on the list? Buying a house is the number 2 expense of all these expenses. What's a way that we can reduce our housing expense?
Move from Seattle to Florida.
Wow, spoken like somebody with a little knowledge of that situation.
Afford anything with financial journalist Paula Pant.
You have many financial goals. You want to buy or pay off your house. You need to replace your car. You want to pay for a wedding, send your kids to college, travel the world, and one day retire. But how?
And Webby Award-winning Brown Ambition with Tiffany the Budgetnista Aliche and personal finance expert Mandy Woodruff.
When I was crafting my resume in my career, I wasn't thinking about the job I had. I was always thinking, like, what's going to impress the person who has my next opportunity and make them want to have a conversation with me? And yeah, I think people are not thinking that far ahead.
That's why we'd be leaning into you, career coach.
So, as you look to improve your financial literacy, follow Stacking Benjamins, Afford Anything, and Brown Ambition. Wherever you listen.
What if the Texans don't take someone to 2G? You could just stay put, hold, to use the Braveheart phrase, and just get who he wants. So he was asked today. This is going to be great. I haven't heard the answer. But he's got zero filter. None. Asked, who do you think is going to go 1, 2, and 3? So what quarterback do you think you'll have a shot at 4? The answer.
As you sit here, do you have a pretty good idea how 1, 2, 3 go or not?
No idea. No, and I don't think anybody does. Now, everybody thinks they do. I mean, of course, everybody thinks they do, and everybody has an inside source that's given them information of what's going to be done. But I think, as you all know, just look at the mock drafts and tell me how accurate they are after the draft. You don't. Nobody knows. Nobody's given out information.
How much lying do you think goes on right now?
Great question.
Oh, everybody's lying. I might be the most honest, unfortunately. But everybody's lying. I think you know Melly well enough. Like, usually if you answer a question, I'll either dance around it or give you an answer. Today I'm a dancer.
Ladies, give it up.
I appreciate that.
Everybody, can we all get a round of applause for Chris Ballard? Today I'm a dancer. Not a tiny dancer. You see, he's swole.
A JoJo dancer.
Ooh. My annual come at me mock draft.
Yeah.
Oh.
By the way, I nailed Trey Lance at 3 a couple years ago, so that's good. Everything else that I might have gotten wrong, not going to mention here. Today, I'm a dancer, says Chris Ballard, whose hair is perfect. We have no idea. We have no idea.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, it's got to be Bryce Young. Really?
Yeah, really?
Texans aren't think you're going to take a quarterback. Oh, really? Texans are going to take a quarterback. It could be Bryce Young because it's C.J. Stroud, definitely for Carolina. Oh, really?
So Will Anderson's going number one is what
and
you're
Arizona,
saying.
And Arizona, that I can be sure this ain't happening because the Panthers didn't trade all that from 9-1 to take a pass rusher.
Good got point. Andy Dalton.
That's true.
You're a dancer now. You're dancing. Stop it. Stop it.
Believe me when I say it's lying season.
Oh, I know that. I got it. And I know how I see what you're doing as well.
We all know it's lying season, but it took someone in his position to actually come out and say it. I don't think anyone's done that
before.
It's
great.
Pretty funny.
It's right? great. And we don't know 1 through 4. We have no idea whether it's possible to see a trade up at 3. It's entirely possible that guy who is a dancer or dances around the subject or gives you a straight answer can sit there at 4 and get the second quarterback in the draft. That's entirely possible.
Wrestling fans, feel the podcast heat. Woo! Join Hall of Fame wrestlers every week sharing their stories from the past. Click this with Kevin Nash.
I'm in the ring in my mind saying, that's Hulk Hogan. Like, Hogan's with us.
And insights on what's happening now. Strictly Business with Eric Bischoff.
We love breaking down the business of the wrestling business.
Ric Flair, Mike Mullen, Jake the Snake Roberts, good old JR, and more. Get into the WrestleMania spirit. Just search Podcast Heat wherever you listen.